Luke chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your word. We just thank you for the events that transpired some 2,000 years ago that changed this world, and the coming of your Son, and his eventual death and resurrection on our behalf. And we just pray you bless this morning. Just help us to just be able to meditate and consider what you did for us by sending your Son. Let us learn to walk and live in his light. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we have here recorded the words of Zacharias, the priest, the father of the man, who would be known to history as John the Baptist, the messenger and forerunner of the long-promised Messiah. John's birth was miraculous, in that his mother had been barren and was long past childbearing years. It was also a miracle as well that Zacharias was able to say what he did, because for the previous 9 months, he had been utterly incapable of speech. This was obviously a very significant event for all this to have happened. So at the very least, it called for some explanation for the reason of the miraculous circumstances in which it occurred. And now that Zacharias' tongue was loose, he was no doubt ready and willing to provide people with the explanation that they sought. But as we read in verse 67, we see that this was not just Zacharias sharing his own thoughts. We see in this moment he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he was given much to say. And we could think about it that probably the significance of what he had to say, he may not even have fully grasped it as he was saying it. And so as we look into this passage, we see of how he speaks of how God had visited and redeemed his people. And we think of that, we talked about that some last week, of just the divine intervention where God has come down to earth to meet the needs of his people, to save his people and all the world from their sins. And so we can be thankful for that. We see if he talks about the salvation, that he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And the idea of a horn, sometimes we think in terms of a horn of being something on a cow, and that's not what he's talking about in that sense. It's the idea of a horn, a trumpet, of course, because back then, if they were to raise an alarm, they would use actually a cow's horn or a goat's horn that they would blow upon to sound the alarm. And so it's that idea that the idea that we have a horn of salvation, that we can call unto him and he'll hear us and respond to us. And we see how he says, if I was spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, and that's a study in and of itself, as we actually can go through the scriptures and see different verses that speak prophetically of this one that was to come, that would be the Savior of the world. We think even in the beginning immediately after the fall of man and the entrance of sin to this world at the Garden of Eden, that God said to Adam and Eve, he said that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. There is that promise. And we see later on, we think of to Abraham, how he told Abraham that he would bless him, and he said to him that in thee would all the families of the earth be blessed. And we understand that all the families of the earth would be blessed by Jesus, who came from the seed of Abraham. And so we see that of how through him, this one that was to come, that we would be saved from our enemies. And of course, he's speaking of his people. But we recognize in terms who is our greatest enemy, our greatest adversary, that is the devil. And all that he has done against us, that we know that it's through Christ we can have victory over him and over his deceptions and over his temptations that he lays in front of us. And so we see there's much that he speaks of, and we see that he talks of what was in store for his son, but of course much more he speaks of the one greater than his son, the one that was yet to come, the one for whom his son would prepare the way, that his son John would give the knowledge of salvation by the remission meaning pardoning or forgiving of their sins through the tender mercy of God. But we realize that there was one coming who would be the means of the remission of our sins, of our forgiveness, of our salvation and deliverance. And we see that it was God himself coming down to earth to visit and redeem his people. And it wasn't just his people, but as well, he came to provide God's way of salvation for every nation, tribe, and tongue throughout the world. But we see as the prophecy of Zacharias draws to a close, he makes some very significant statements as well. And that's what we want to zero in on in the time we have remaining this morning. Speaking of God, or more specifically of the Son of God that was soon coming down to earth, he uses the phrase we see in the latter part of verse 78. He says, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And day spring is not a term that we use much anymore. And kind of looking at it, we're maybe a little bit confused, but simply put, day spring means the dawn. It means the beginning of the day. It's the time where there is the first appearance of light. And it's something, of course, in the summertime, we don't usually get up early enough to see the sunrise, but usually now when it's so much colder, the days are so much shorter, a lot of times we can see that sunrise. And it is, when we actually take time to watch that, it's always when we see how it's dark, but then we see a bit of light coming, and then when the light of the sun just first pierces the horizon, that we think of that would be what we would call the day spring. And so when he's using that, he's referring to this, the day spring from on high, what he's saying is that the light from heaven was soon to be dawning upon the earth. And this child that was to come, this Christ child, he would be the source of that light. He would bring in that new day that was to break upon the earth. And so we actually see that this thought was spoken of in many different places in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, it was speaking, verse 1, about the Galilee of the nations, and it says this, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And so we see that promise to them that sit in darkness in the shadow of death, the light would shine unto them. We read this morning at the beginning of our service Isaiah chapter 60, where it talks about verse 2, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light. And so we see that this light would come, and it would be a light from the Lord, that the Lord himself would be that light. As well in Isaiah 49 and verse 6, it says, speaking of the one that was to come, is light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. And so we see this one that was come, that he was sent to be a light. And we see as well, if you turn with me to Malachi chapter 4, Malachi, the last chapter of the New Testament, or the Old Testament before Matthew, Malachi 4 and verse 2, he says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." And we see that, that it's, we could certainly think that Christ could be defined as being the Son of Righteousness, spelled S-O-N, but we here see it's S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, that he would be this dawning that would come, that he would arise with healing in his wings. We think as well, in the New Testament, it's spoken of this idea. We see in some places where Jesus is referred to as the bright and morning star. We think in John chapter 1 of how, speaking of this one that was to come, the one who was the Word that was with God and was God, says in verse 4 of John chapter 1, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." It continues, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." And so we see in this person was light, and it shines in the darkness. And those in darkness struggle to comprehend what that light is. But it's a true light that lights every man that comes into this world. The light people needed to see for themselves, the light in which they needed to believe in and respond to. We think as well, as we consider the events surrounding his birth, we think how that night when he was born, that the darkness was turned into light when the angels appeared to the shepherds. We think as well of how the wise men were guided to his location by a great star in the heavens that they'd never seen before. And we think as well of the words of Simeon soon after his birth, when his parents came to the temple to give the expected offerings. Simeon makes a statement. He says, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word." Verse 30, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." And so we recognize that this one that was to come was the light sent from God to this world. And so we celebrate the birth of Christ, we commemorate this time of year, and we do it for many different reasons, but not the least of which is that when Jesus Christ came into this world, light came into this world. And so when we ponder that, and we see what it says there in verse 79 of Luke 1, it says, "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death," our question might be, well, to whom is he speaking? Who are the ones that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death? And as we ponder it, we realize we are the ones of whom he is speaking. That verse 79 applies to each and every one of us. That we were in darkness and we were in the shadow of death, but he came to give us light. That we really, we don't think of it in our world in terms of the spiritual in many ways. We think in terms of the physical, and we realize of how before electric light was invented, that it was something where when it was night, that it was a pretty dark world out there physically. But now it's something, it's just amazing what we're able to have with power generation, everything else, is where you have towns that are all illuminated, and you can find your way in the dark with your vehicles because you have headlights. And even now, of course, we have at Christmas time, we have so much Christmas lights that we can decorate, that something that probably a century and a half ago for people to imagine us having that light that we could just be able to turn on with just a switch would be so incredible. And so, physically speaking, there is so much more light in this world than there used to be, that it's a thing that I remember different times when we Alicia and I, we flew from Calgary to Toronto on our way to Quebec back in September, that we got kind of the red-eye flight. We left at midnight and got there kind of first thing in the morning. And just as you're flying over, seeing all these pockets of light in the darkness. And it's such a good thing, such an advancement of civilization in many ways that we have that. But we realize, in terms of spiritually speaking, our world is in great darkness. And that darkness has engulfed us for a long time. That the world was plunged into darkness long ago in the Garden of Eden, when mankind turned from the truth, when mankind embraced the deceptions of the devil, and when mankind as a whole rebelled against God and by so doing brought sin and death into this world. And because of that, our world abides in great spiritual darkness. The darkness of sin, the darkness of deceit, the darkness of hate, all of which threaten many times to engulf and overwhelm us. Where you think of it, that there's so much that people pursue after, people believe in, that is utter falsehood, that they're completely in the dark when it comes to the truth of who God is, of what life's all about. Most people just have no understanding of what the truth is concerning God, concerning their own eternal destiny, concerning eternity itself. We realize as well of just the sin that can just grow and can bring great harm and hurt. And just specifically, just the darkness of hate, of how we can see that, of where people get overwhelmed by anger and rage and hate for one another, that it can, that hate can hurt so many people. We think of just the brutality of war that comes, and just how so many people can suffer because of the hate that exists between nations and between people. And so we have in our world a hate, a darkness that always threatens to engulf and overwhelm us. And we think of, just as we understand, if we were to go in the evening on a night that was cloudy, where we couldn't see the stars and we were far away walking in the darkness, we recognize that with the spiritual darkness in which this world abides, that there is a coldness and a loneliness to that darkness, where you have that feeling of being alone, that no one cares, that as well there's a great confusion brought on by darkness. Because in the dark, we don't know which way to turn. If we have a light, we can see plainly. But in the darkness, it's easy to stumble. It's easy to lose our way. And we think of what it speaks of in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness, that they know not at what they stumble. When we're not led of the Lord, but instead are led by the flesh and by our own lusts, and drawn away, that we plunge ourselves into darkness. Isaiah chapter 59 as well speaks of this. Isaiah 59 verses 7 to 10, it says, their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths, and whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. And so that is the condition in which we are because of the darkness of this world, because of the darkness of sin. And as well, we recognize from the time that we're little kids that there's often a fearfulness brought on by the darkness, that we're not sure what dangers lie in the path. It is the darkness, time of darkness when the predators come out at night. And so we recognize that the world in which we live spiritually can be a very dark and scary place. But it's something that we consider as well, that there is a darkness around us many times, but there's also a darkness within us. And sometimes it can scare us how great that darkness is within us. And as we allow ourselves to be led into what's wrong, as we give into the darkness of sin, the darkness of hate, that can destroy our lives, it can destroy the lives of others. And as well, when we're in that darkness and suffering from that, that can lead us to great feelings of hopelessness and despair. And so into this world that is engulfed in such great spiritual darkness, we find that's Jesus came, and he came to give us light. He came to be that light. He came to guide our feet in the way of peace. We think of the words of Jesus during his ministry in John chapter 8 and verse 12, where he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We think as well of what he said in John chapter 12 and verse number 46. Where he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. That he came to give light to us all. We think in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 of how Paul speaks of how we have been delivered from the power of darkness and delivered instead into the kingdom of his dear Son. And also in Acts chapter 26, and verse number 18, we see God's mission for Paul as he was sent him to be a witness for him. He says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And so that's why Jesus came, is to give this world light. And that's, he is the light of this world, that he is the only one that we can turn to guide our way to that way of peace. He is the one that helps us to understand our world as it is. He's the one through whom we can escape that coldness and loneliness of this world, to embrace his love and learn to love others. That he can help us to deal with the darkness that's around us. He can help us to deal with that darkness that's within us, and to help us to break free from that. And so, as we understand Jesus Christ to be the light, that every single one of us on this earth has a personal choice to make. And that choice is whether we come to and we embrace the light that is the Lord Jesus, or we instead turn away from that light and turn back to the darkness. That it's a thought that as we come to him, that he is the truth that will make us free. And as we see him, we see the truth. We're no longer duped by the lies of the devil. And we're enabled to see things as they really are and make proper decisions. We can follow a path that will lead us to life and blessing rather than a path of darkness in which we stumble and live a life full of shame, where we want the darkness to enshroud us so no one knows all of the things that we've done. That when we come to Him, that He exposes that darkness of our soul, but as His light and love shines within us, that darkness is expelled. And we can gain freedom from anger and cruelty and hate, that darkness within can be removed, and so that we can have His light in us and show that light to other people. And so we can do that as we come to the light, or we can refuse the light. We can turn back to the darkness, and we can be engulfed by it. We read in John chapter 3, passage we're all well familiar with, John 3:16. But we see in verse 18, it says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." And so that's a choice that we have to make. That's a question we have to ask. Which am I in this situation? Am I one that does truth and comes to the light? Or am I one that does evil that hates the light? That doesn't come to it lest our deeds should be reproved. That He's shining a light on our hearts to show us the evil of our ways, because He wants to free us from them. That He can't, it's just, you think of a doctor giving a diagnosis of cancer. He does so not to make us feel bad, but to tell us this is what is necessary so we can take the steps needed to fight this and eradicate it from your body. And so that's what He wants us to do. And so we have to ask that. Do we hate the light? Do we refuse to come to it? Do we do all that we can to extinguish it? Or instead, do we come to the light? Do we come to the Lord Jesus? Do we allow Him to do His work around us, do His work within us, to expel the darkness and let His light shine in and through us? And so at this period in history, now more than ever, we recognize that our world needs the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs the light of His Word. It needs the light of His love. And so, as His children, as His people, we need to share His light. We need to shine His light so people can be guided out of darkness and the shadow of death to the way of peace, where maybe some, all they've seen is anger and cruelty and hate, that we can show love, we can show compassion, we can show them that there is light, that we don't have to be full of despair and hopelessness, that there is a path out of this place of the shadow of death, a path to peace. And someone has said, it is better to light one candle than to complain about the darkness. And so may each of us be a candle to those around us, that through us they might be guided to the true light, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we just thank You for Your word. We thank You for the light that Your Son is to us, and we just pray You'd help us to walk in that light, to be children of light, to help others, to guide them to You, so they can be cleansed of the darkness within and get victory over the darkness without. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.